NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we're back. Happy Labor Day for everyone who celebrates. I don't know why you wouldn't celebrate Labor Day. Take the day off, you know, whatever. The full squad is back. So you know that we're ecstatic to have Nick back in the fold. Dylan's in, Nick's in, Michael's in. So we're going to have a crazy podcast. There were a lot of goals this week in the Premier League. There's a team or two that I think we're excited to maybe tap dance a little bit on top of. And then, you know, we're gonna talk about everything. So first things first, Nick, welcome back. You're one day in school year already. What's the break been like? Have you missed being on the pod? Are you excited to finally get your takes off?
I'm exhausted. I can't wait to go to bed after one day of this crap. Working. This is bullshit.
I finished work, and I don't even do that much, and I just cannot wait to not do this anymore.
I came home. I was gonna have all these grand plans to work out and all this stuff. I ate 3 tacos, some green beans, some mac and cheese, and a handful of M&Ms, and just said, "Fuck this! I'm not working out."
I love days like this. I love days like this.
I am very excited to be back. I missed you guys. You know, I don't know how much the podcast world missed me, but I just wanted since I've been obviously been listening a lot, I want to say the previews, awesome. Like, really, really cool, really, really fun to listen to, but I do have to admit something, though. I actually haven't been working these last few weeks. I've actually been staging a silent protest against you guys, against the pod, because I don't get a preview. Like, everyone gets to hang out with another friend from the team and talk about all the club that they love and all this stuff. And
you're not going to like this answer.
I know something. I know this is going to end up coming back to me because they probably just rejected us. But I just wanted to say that I want a friend to talk to about Man United and not get dumped on all the time.
So this was the sad truth about being a podcast of our size is there's 4 different Man United podcasts I reached out to. And all of them either didn't respond. And I had one that was just like, yo, we're super busy right now, maybe later. So there's still hope. But my goal was to have each of our teams at least do one. And then I fell short of my goal, Nick. You're out of 4. Gets me in the Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
easily.
Yeah, you and Pete Rose can hang out outside the doors if you really want to. So,
but love to. Love it. But yeah, no, thank you for the kind words on the previews. They're actually a ton of fun to do. I would love to keep in contact with a few of them. I think that at some point there will be a Man United-centric episode that we can do with you on it. Hopefully it's about a resurgence and not what's been going on lately, though. I would think you'd want that, right?
Yeah. But I do know that if this whole Man United thing doesn't work out in the end, I'm definitely joining up with Alex and Dylan and the Wolves. Like,
yeah.
That guy sounds awesome. He was so cool. I like
that. Yeah, and he's local. And Dylan's mom has been persistent for Dylan to reach out to him. But Dylan, much like my wife, you know, no new friends.
I get nervous, all right? Like, I need it to happen naturally. I'd rather. Yeah. I'm better in person.
Dylan hasn't had to send the first text in like 6 years, so he's a little nervous, you know.
Yo, I'm not gonna lie though.
On
this topic of like getting to do these previews, reaching out to these podcasts, outside of like Dylan and I both work in sales, so like I've sent a cold email before, whatever. But sending a DM to someone, being married now for 2.5 years, and Lex and I have been dating for like 8, I was lost. I was like, what do I say? What do I bring up? How do I hook them in? So I'm right there. Like, I think Dylan, you relate to that as you were just saying. So, but no, definitely want to get a Man United guy on. Glad to have you back on. We got a lot to talk about. The first thing, though, before we get to our Dudes of the Week, which is now just a patented segment that I can clip out and make a TikTok out of, which is incredible. Dylan, I had a question for you because you're the MLS guy. And I think one of the complaints that we could levy towards the MLS is the scheduling, how terrible it is, and how it kind of screws some shit up. But I do feel like this is such an opportune moment to bring this back to the surface that they play through a lot of international breaks, which is kind of dumb. Like, why does it matter if it's 2 more weeks later or whatever, in my opinion? And now they have an absolute just juggernaut of a money-making machine in the league, which is Messi, which every away game he goes to, now those teams' pro shops are putting Miami gear in. We can talk about that, how we feel about that, whatever. But now you're going to have 2 games where Inter-Miami play and Messi's just not going to play. Which also, Nick, I'm going to rope you into this. That might hurt your bet a little bit.
You said what? They need to go 9-1-2 or something like that? Or 9-2-1?
Put it this way. They're on pace.
Yeah. So clearly we've got some breathing room. So we'll be just fine.
You're on pace. But Dylan, I'd like to get your thoughts just because you've experienced MLS seasons more than we have. So like, what have people said about this in the past?
First, before I go into that, you know they tied their last game, right?
No, they won their last game. They tied the game before.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, actually, is that even true? Yeah, they did win 3-1.
Yeah, they tied Nashville, and then they beat LAFC.
So, that's right. Sorry, I was high on Philly smacking the Red Bull, so I apologize for my miscommunication there. Anywho, I think it's something that I'd love to get fixed, but because it's always been this way, everyone's kind of used to it. Like, to be honest, with the Gold Cup going on, like, the Union had a slump because we lost 5 of our best players, including, like, Andre Blake, who kind of holds things down. So, like, it's something where I think in the middle of season it's tolerated. In where we're at in this juncture of the season, I think there needs to be a break, because also you're not telling Messi, no, you can't go to Argentina for World Cup qualifying. So, like, to your point, I think Nick's bet might be in some trouble because you're losing Messi for a week or two, and you're losing money, but it is what it is. Like, and the problem that you also don't realize, though, is you ever been to Philly in November for an MLS Cup game? Like, it's also, like, 10 degrees. So it's a little bit different than I think what you're getting in Europe at that time too in the winter.
Yeah, sometimes. I think that's actually such an interesting point that we've never talked about. Like, Messi, if they do make the playoffs, which I would assume next year they're going to make the playoffs. They're a pretty decent team when he's playing. I hope so too, dude. Look, I never watched the MLS. As soon as he got signed, I did. I am a sheep. I bought that Apple package. I watched the League's Cup, and now I check the score to see how he does. Just imagine him playing a game at, like, New England in November, and it's turf and there's snow on the ground. Like, that's just not going to fly, right? Like,
but one, he won't play on turf, so you're already out. And two, yes, the snow on the ground's not going to help either. Because it's also not like a dusting. It's a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Like, wait, is that an actual thing? Like, he really won't play on turf?
Yeah. Because you don't want to pretend. There's more, I think, what is it? There's more, like, ACL injuries, or, like, that's the research or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah. But I didn't know that was, like, he's not going to play on turf.
No, that's, like, actually a thing.
My guy's out.
That's funny. That's so funny.
I guess. How do you guys feel about the other teams stocking Inter-Miami stuff?
Don't they isn't there revenue sharing between the league?
Probably. I'm more talking about, like, I figured Nick would come in here very old school. I don't want any of that other team shit in my stadium type stuff. You know, I don't know.
No, it just makes it easier for me to buy my Halloween costume if I go to a Rebels game.
True. Very true. All right, MLS talk over. Wait till next year. Hank and Dylan starting the MLS pod back again. Let's get into our dudes of the week. We're going to do it snake style since we got all 4 of us. Let's go Nick, Michael, Dylan, John, and then back, and then back, obviously. Nick, are you excited to do your first dude of the week?
Dude, I couldn't. I was so excited. I can't put my words together. I'm very pumped up. Mostly because I can't wait for the first time I open my mouth after the third one, and Michael freaks out that I might say a fourth name.
Well, it'll be very interesting. It'll be interesting for us to keep you in this format, because they do tend to be the guy's name and then a quick fact, and then we move on. So I right. just I hope you're up for the challenge.
I'm Nick into doesn't it. Know what short form is.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, I teach a class where you have to write essay writing. I am
my guy was pissed when it was only 140 characters on Twitter. So
that's why I don't tweet. That's why I don't tweet.
Nick, lead us off here.
Anthony Elanga, get some golden time, big dub, and put some people on the spin cycle, despite along with scoring the goal.
Love it. Also, big win against a team that this pod loves. Michael. First round pick?
Ferguson for Brighton. 18-year-old getting a hat trick.
Big time.
Pretty unbelievable. Crazy. I also had Elanga, but I knew that he was going to get taken, so.
Big time. Dylan, first round dude of the week.
Cameron Archer. Guy's kind Ooh. Of a stud. Technically, he should have had two goals. Because, even though it hit the post, that shot was filthy, and he just was so smart to use Pickford's back. And he's the type of striker I wish the Wolves had on that type of thing. Like, he makes Sheffield a little bit more dangerous, where I'm thinking twice if they actually could have that spark to keep him up.
Love it. All right, since I got back-to-back picks, I'll do the duo that should be shouted out here. I'm going to get this wrong, and Michael's going to correct me, but I'm going to take my pick on which center back it was. I thought it was Gabriel, who stayed or got our man offside for the win at Arsenal. And obviously Declan Rice for the game-winning goal. Nick, this is no shout to you. I'm not trying to, twist the knife. Because that result happened, I did hit a parlay that was pretty big. Unfortunately, I did not mention the parlay on pod, so therefore it does not really count. That allowed me to get a pretty big dub in my first week of betting, which, when I put my phone down, still 1-1. I texted you guys. I said, betting stinks. Next thing I knew, I checked later, and I saw they won 3-1. I said, betting's amazing. So I'm back in.
I thought this was supposed to be short-winded.
Dylan, second-round pick. Who you got?
Well, considering that my list of five people was already taken, Matt Turner on his first Premier League shutout.
Yeah, that's a great one. Big time. Michael.
Going back to Brighton. Sold Caicedo, sold McAllister, throw in Billy Gilmore. He's an absolute monster in the DM position for them.
Absolutely. Best run club in the Premier League, some are saying. Nick, back-to-back picks, round two, round three, who you got?
Jared Bowen. Can the man get a call-up, please?
Yeah.
Dude, great just lighting it up.
Great.
And then how outside the box am I allowed to go / with the definition of football?
I had the entire Spanish women's national team on mine once, so.
All right, cool. Coach Prime, I'm all fucking in on Colorado this year. Let's go.
I love it. I actually do love that one. Big Coach Prime guy. Our dad hates it. Michael, who you got?
I know Son got a hat trick, but shouts out to Manor Solomon on the left side. Son had to go up top to play Richarlison's position because he can't play it well enough. Manor Solomon taking the Son position. I think he got two assists. He was unbelievable, though. Very good.
Yeah, very good. Dylan?
I will do, I think, in the first time of Dude of the Week history, put him on the board again. James Madison. Guy's a stud. Electric to watch.
Double dip. First two-time Dude of the Week recipient. My last one.
Keep track of these so we know, if how many times somebody gets Dude of the Week. Is it going to be, an award?
We need Dude of the Year.
I'm keeping track of it. Don't worry. There will be a graphic at one point. There will be a graphic at one point. Wow. My last guy, out of nowhere, a team that really needs a boost, a guy that I was never allowed to root for until now, 18 years later, the greatest comeback since LeBron going home, the reason I'm wearing the Sevilla jersey, welcome back Sergio Ramos to Sevilla. I'm buying the kit. The white one's sick this year. They have not gotten a point out of three games yet. They look like dog shit. But I can finally root for Sergio Ramos outside of the time that he dislocated Mo Salah's arm and they were unable to win a Champions League. So, Michael, I got you covered there.
Yeah, enjoy the red cards.
Hey, you can't get worse than last. And that's where Sevilla are right now. Oh, so, I mean, I'm cool with it.
Not going to finish there, but whatever.
I will say, honorable mention, he's got to earn it at some point. Or I think he might have in a prior week, but Big Ange, what the fuck? What a guy.
Yeah, I mean, we're like showering the dudes of the week with Tottenham players, but we're not picking... We're not picking Ange, who is we're just not, like...
Oh, but then why don't you just say dude of the week, Harry Kane, thanks for leaving.
Yeah, exactly. We're not picking the big kangaroo himself, Big Ange, but dudes of the week, another successful run there. All right.
Is that his nickname, the big kangaroo?
Nah, I just made that up right now.
Let's get it trending.
I think we should make a shirt. That'd be the first shirt in the NAFTA team shop, the big kangaroo.
We had to trash three of them.
Yeah, actually, we have a bit of a curse. I think Dylan has like put that on us. He's talked about that Rangers curse with the hockey jerseys for a long time. Imagine going to Philly, making a Mitrovic, a Saint-Maximin, and what was the third one, Michael? That was a curse. I think it was just those
Mitrovic, Saint-Maximin. It was a Tony one.
That's tough. Yeah,
but that was so after the fact too. So we knew going in.
Tough beat.
Yeah. Yeah. We should have done a slot machine with his face coming up and then like coins coming out or something. That'd have been.
Man, we always think of the best ideas after.
Yeah. The jackpot Tony. All right. Let's dive into this week. Like I said, a ton of goals, a lot of good results, and a lot of games to run through. We're going to give you the quick seven and then the three big ones that we want to talk a little bit more on. The week opened up with Luton Town and West Ham. West Ham 2, Luton Town 1. Jared Bowen, dude of the week, first goal in the 37th minute, opened it up with Paquita as a assister there. And then Kurt Zuma with a goal in the 85th minute, kicked it harder than he did his cat. 2-0 up for West Ham. Michael's throwing up a VAR sign. Luton Town gets one back at the end. Luton, this was their first home game. They did play pretty well. But I was sweating this one out because I needed 2+ goals and a West Ham win for sure. Another game I betted on. Sheffield United 2, Everton 2. A goal for Cameron Archer, dude of the week. But Decore scored first. I got that way out of whack. Pickford with the own goal off the Archer shot as well. And then Dan Juma, welcome to the show. 55th minute, tied 2-2. They share points. That was one that I called out and I was very proud of. Brentford 2, Bournemouth 2. Matthijs Jensen in the 7th gives Brentford the lead. Solanke tied it up in the 30th for Bournemouth. The next goal was Brooks in the 77th. And then Mbeumo scores again for Brentford to share points there. Bournemouth looked good. Brentford, they probably could use Ivan Toney at this point. Burnley 2, Tottenham 5. I hate when I do scores like that, but it just came off my lips that way. Foster opened the scoring for Burnley in the 4th minute. It was tied up by Son in the 18th, or the 16th. He then scored in the 63rd, 66th, Romero in the 45th, and Madison in the 54th. Burnley got one back from Brownhill in the 94th, 5-2 Tottenham. Man City 5, Fulham 1. A Alvarez goal in the 31st minute opened the scoring. Tim Ream tied it up in the 33rd. Michael's throwing the VAR sign up again. Ake with a controversial 45th minute goal gave a 2-1 win at the half. Haaland then got a second half hat trick, 58th minute, 70th minute, and a 90+ 5-minute goal there. Palace 3, Wolves 2. A tough one for Dylan. Huang opened the scoring in the 65th, giving the Wolves a 1-0 lead. Eze in the 78th tied it up. And then, Edward in the 56th actually opened the scoring. I'm struggling today. I apologize. Huang tied it up in the 65th. Eze gave Palace the lead again in the 78th. And then Edward put them up 3-1 in the 84th. Matthijs Cunha with the last goal of the game, 3-2 Palace. And then Liverpool 3, Villa 0. This one will be easy on me. Szoboszlai in the third. Matty Cash own goal in the 22nd. Mo Salah back on the score sheet in the 55th. Man, 4 years of doing that, I'm still not any better than I was the first day. I'm not going to lie to you. Let's jump in. Michael, you threw up the VAR sign a couple different times here. There's some definite games where this was pretty controversial. What is the most egregious one that you want to talk about?
Luton Town, for sure. Well, okay. I mean, it depends, because you're in the Man City game, it was also egregious, but it didn't matter because it was 5-1 in the end. The Luton Town one, I mean, that's a point for them. In the 90th minute, 150% a handball on James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw it too. I know, Dylan, you were, because I think we were texting during it, but full extension with the left arm going up to try to block out her head, the ball, it just grazes off it. It's called all the time in big games when we're watching, and for some reason just was not called. So tough for Luton Town, especially at home. They played tough. I'm not going to lie. Still going to be the worst team in the league, I think, but they played tough. Any other thoughts from anyone else?
They got robbed, but I'm not sad about it.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Can I just say, great full podcast call on the Sheffield United Everton tie. Every single one of us called a draw.
Yeah. I gave myself flowers there, but we all had a tie, had a draw there. Dylan,
I don't know about you guys, but watching that game at the end with Pickford's save, I was sitting there when that corner went out, and there was 2 minutes over what extra time should have been. I was sitting there going, Sheffield United's about to win this game because it's the most Everton thing to ever happen to Everton. Yeah. And then as it happened, I was like, I can't believe that it didn't become an Everton thing. But that, I don't know. That game could have – the Sheffield probably should have won that game.
Yeah. You guys were ahead of me. And I think Nick texted the group and was like, oh, my God, Pickford. And I was like, what? Yeah. It's tied. They're about to blow the whistle. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, Jesus. Because, again – that was the biggest leg of the parlay that I had going that needed to come down. So big win for a draw there. Are we worried about Brentford? Let me open that up real quick.
No.
No.
Well, we're not worried about them offensively.
Yeah.
Worried as in though. Worried as in relegation battle worried, or no. Just they're not no, gonna no, no. be
Yeah.
No. Then no.
There's different varyings of worried. Are we impressed by Bournemouth?
I was thinking about this. I would, if I'm Bournemouth, think about where West Ham is right now. You got a 1-1 draw with them. Then you played Liverpool. Then you played Spurs. Especially Spurs have looked outrageous. You beat Swansea City in the cup. And then you got a tie with Brentford, which you almost could have won if not a 90-minute winner. I think just relax. Like, if you're worried about Bournemouth, just relax until you start to play Luton, Sheffield, Everton, maybe Wolves. Sorry, Dylan. You're going to get some good performances. You're going to get some good points.
And Captain America's coming in the squad too.
Yeah.
There you go.
Still, I'm excited for that one. I really want that jersey too. I'm going to spend a lot of money. This is going to suck. Burnley 5 or Tottenham 5, Burnley 2. We've already said it. We're all pretty impressed with Tottenham at this point, correct?
Yeah, they're fun to watch.
I do think, I know you probably also watched this, John, but when you go up in the fourth minute at home to just be like so vulnerable to give up 5 goals, even if it is against a really good Spurs side, I think they need to like start thinking about some different tactics over there at Burnley.
Scored too early. Happens all the time.
I guess.
I think it's a really easy tactic. I just think Vincent Kompany puts a kit back on, you know.
Just play center back.
Player coach. Yeah. Player coach.
I don't know. Love it. Think we were robbed to find out how good Burnley actually is because of the Luton Town game getting postponed. That would have been our barometer based off of them playing 3 tough teams to start to really not know what Burnley is.
I think that's a very democratic way to look at Burnley for sure. I'm right there with you. One thing that is becoming apparent, Nick, your Tottenham friend, needs to just, you know, not be a dickhead this year then, right? Like, he's getting to watch good soccer.
Yeah, I'm actually really, really loving this because him and I had a really deep conversation about this the other day. This juxtaposes the conversation from about a month ago where he was in the fandom version of jumping off the bridge suicidal, you know, like, and then now he's like starting to make comments in our group chat and he's sending me more and more soccer stuff on Instagram. I'm like, oh my God, he's believing again. I can't wait till this crushes him again later. I'm actually really excited for the build up to the letdown. Yeah, I'm just really excited for this to just come crashing down. So I'm just going to let him have it. I'm going to let him, you know, say what he wants. And then Spurs are going to Man United, you know? And maybe we'll change that verbiage this year. Who knows?
We shall see. City 5-1, this is the one thing I'll say. Nick, I spent a good part of a day and a half looking at our fantasy teams, trying to figure out if there's any way I could trade for Julian Alvarez. And I just know it's not happening now. He's scoring too consistently. And I like know how good Haaland is. I love watching Julian Alvarez. That's my only thought here. Michael, you want to go into VAR?
I mean, I just did see the tweet from Premier League where they went like mic'd up on six calls, like controversial calls of the first, you know, 3 weeks or whatever, or for first 4 weeks. I haven't got to see that yet. I'm really interested to see what calls they are, one, and what they say. This one is, I mean, it's like textbook. It's so obvious that it's interference, that he's offsides. I just don't know what to say anymore. I mean, it doesn't matter because it was end up being 5-1, but it's just so like ridiculous.
Yeah,
I have a receipt I'd like to read from John, and this is, sorry John, you need to stop being a City fan, like acting like one. Is this segment that I'm making up right now of, as the game was 1-1 and there was still probably what 70 minutes left in the game, if anyone is thinking of it, avoid any type of second half City bet. This is the worst I've seen them play in a long time. They then proceeded to win 5-1. Sorry, I need the world to know that.
I'm providing a service though. Anytime I say something like that, you should do the opposite of what I say.
They also scored within 20 seconds of you sending that text.
Very true. Very true.
And then you said it's going to get overturned, and then you said, "Oh shit, no, it didn't."
Yeah, I want to piggyback on what Dylan said, that like I kind of want to make, I don't know if this is a bold prediction, maybe it's just a bold statement, so I'll know where this falls, Michael, for the list, but is Erling Haaland just boring now?
Well, City's always been boring.
He is boring, but it's like being so good, and or, I won't even say like that good, it's like being that productive at your job that it's just like everybody else is just like, yeah, there's no point, like, what, you know, what are we gonna do?
Look, come for the Haaland hat trick, stay for the Julian Alvarez wonder goals. That's how I'm looking at it. It's incredible. And now Doku played. I think this is kind of impressive. I know that they're on cruise control without Pep, but for them to play a guy who has never practiced with Pep because Pep's in Barcelona right now, for them to throw him at the right wing, it's kind of crazy.
Is Jack Grealish just not going to play?
No, he will.
Because he stinks.
He played a ton.
No. Well, but he wasn't on the bench, right?
Look, I always like to move on from this City thing. If you want my real thoughts about all this stuff, I think that the new tactic is going to be Foden, Doku, Grealish, and Bernardo running essentially like a U formation with three people and them having two strikers up top. And what's going to happen now is it's just...
That was four people.
I think one subbed out and they're going to...
One subbed out. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so not three people then.
I'm with Michael on this one. He was right.
Whatever. Anyway, three people. There's going to be Grealish as right now in this case. Foden played. I mean... Now I've lost my train of thought. Anyway, we're going to be dribbling a lot. There's going to be a lot of changing positions. Doku played on the right wing and switched over to the left wing within 20 minutes. I think there's just going to be a lot of forward possession within the midfield to try to set up lanes for Alvarez and Haaland. And I think that's how they're going to play it. And then, again, three center backs to CDMs, essentially. And I think that's the formation now. So it's going to be fun.
Word.
You guys asked for it. Anyway, Palace, Wolves, Dylan. Tough one.
We scored twice. So that was cool. It's just so aggravating for the fact that we, if you watch the game, we were controlling the game the entire first half. And then our defense, like, we give up three different counter opportunities. So, like, I don't know. It's just going to be one of those years that if we can continue to score two goals every game, I think eventually we'll get enough wins to stay up. So we're going to stay positive right now. We scored two goals. You can't win everything on the road.
Palace, a tough team if you're playing the way you were playing, because they are a counter team, I think, with who they got on the wings and whatnot and on the edge. Let's go positive, since you want to go positive. Gary O'Neill, more time with these players, he's going to figure this out. It looks like he's already smart. Like, we saw him with Bournemouth last year, but, like, there's at least a semblance of an idea.
Yeah, it's – I think for once the opposite is – and I know this is going to – you guys are going to laugh when I say that we're a team that can't score. Our defense is the problem. It's not what – like, we – we'll eventually hopefully figure out how to score, and also we cross again to people who are 5'7", when we have someone who's 6'10", who might need to come off the bench when that's the game plan. But I don't know. Our defense is a liability at the moment. So unless we get that fixed, we're kind of screwed.
Scale 1 to 10, Podence leaving again. I saw that, like, 2 days ago. Is that okay?
Yeah, he was already – we sent him down to the U21s because he was being bratty also.
Love it.
He hasn't been
perfect
with the team for about 2 weeks.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Michael, 3-0 win. Is Liverpool back?
First of all, the only game I've ever been pissed that we didn't give up a goal.
Same, brother.
I only have three comments, really. Well, four, I guess. No, that was one of them, so three more. Szoboszlai is going to be just a problem. He's going to be so good. Can't wait for that. His goal was pretty nasty. To the point of, like, giving up goals, you throw — any Liverpool fan would agree with me, I would say — you throw Joe Gomez and Joel Matip, center back partnership, and they look like fucking prime Maldini, like, regens. They were unreal. They played — I mean, I think Villa played, like, pretty poorly too, but they were unbelievably good. It sucked because I just needed them to give up one goal. And then I think that it's always so interesting when, like, you're in the loop of, like, what people are saying about a player, or, like, what you hear from the club or whatever. And, like, there was so much talk about how, like, Klopp isn't happy with Nunez because, like, he doesn't know English and, like, he's not understanding, like, the tactics very well. And I kind of get it, because, like, sometimes he does stuff that you're just kind of like, you don't need to be doing that. Like, you don't need to slide to try to get the ball from a guy. Like, it's a ton of effort, ton of energy and stuff like that. I think sheerly because I think he scares defenders, and he just runs constantly. You have to get a little bit of, like, okay, I don't want you to do that. Like, please, like, just stick to what we're doing. You have to take some of that with, like, the immense positives that he brings, because he didn't score a goal, got the assist for Salah, and then hit the post twice, or hit the crossbar once in the post, once on the Matty Cash own goal. He was fucking everywhere. Like, it was amazing to watch. But then there are times where I watch him, I'm like, yeah, I could see why that would piss Klopp off. Like, why he's like, I don't need you running the guy down in the corner flag when no one is helping you.
This is going to be a big-time pause comment, but I think he's, like, a stallion that still just isn't broken yet. Pause.
I think anyway. If he gets, like, 5% better, or, like, more consistent at finishing, it will be mayhem.
Yeah, it'll be a problem. With that said, I got two questions for you. One, who's your front three?
I mean, it's for sure going to, like, go with form, but right now it's not close. It's Diaz, Nunez, and Salah.
And then, do you know one interesting fact about Jarrell Kwanzaa?
He hasn't given up a goal since he's been playing. No, I don't. I don't know anything about him.
Saw that name and I was like, I don't know this guy. All right, those are the fly-throughs. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of this podcast. Chelsea 0, Forest 1, Anthony Elanga, dude of the week, 48th minute goal. Great play. Who wants to lead us off here? Nick, you haven't been on the pod. What has your thought process been about watching this $1 billion club play football over the past 4 weeks?
It's amazing. It's beautiful. Like, it's angels singing from the rafters. Like, it is beautiful. I mean, it's awesome because they've actually done some really good business. Like, I mean, they're spending a gazillion dollars, but they've also sent out so many players. So it's not like there clearly is a strategy to what they're doing, and it just, it's not working. So it makes it that much better. But it's like they're trying to be the Galacticos, but like the shitty, unsuccessful version of the Galacticos.
Yeah, I follow.
It's awesome.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm loving it.
Sure, I'm getting it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I got to say, it's, you know what, I never really had like a huge dislike for Chelsea. I didn't like them, but like in the last year or two hanging out with you guys more and more, I am like, I don't know what this says about me as a soccer fan or as a person, but I'm enjoying their failure and the misery of their fans.
Michael, we're big influencers. Dylan, let's go to another Tucker. Thoughts on this one?
Nottingham Forest is clearly a wagon. That's the only way you can explain why Chelsea with all those players could possibly lose. I don't know how else to put it. Like, when you have a team that has 25% possession and just dominates a game like that, like, that's going to win 10 times out of 10. So,
yeah.
In all seriousness, I don't know. Like, at this point, I think Chelsea has turned into my criticism of what the U.S. women's team was doing in the World Cup. There's a ton of talent, but there's no team. And that is part of, I think, the bigger issue that Poch needs to figure out. And the problem is, because we've gone over what their schedule looks like, they might not get more than, you know, 6 or 7 points by the time they get to December 9th or 10th. And is Chelsea going to let him actually keep working through that to try and get the team that he wants it to be? Or are they just going to fire someone else and the wheels keep going and going and going? So, I don't know. Other than that, that's a good away win for Forest. So,
big time. I think we kind of all, I mean, I know Michael is the only one that called this, and I'll come to you in a second, Michael. But I do feel like when we did the preview last pod, we all were kind of sitting here being like, Forest is feisty. Forest is a tough out. They're feisty. Michael, before I let you go, I got one quick question that you can answer. I think one of the biggest criticisms Poch always had at Tottenham was very good coach, never gets any money to back him, never gets any players to back him. Has Mauricio Pochettino lost his fastball?
First of all, I think there are some teams and some organizations that you cannot overcome. Like, nobody could overcome them. I think Chelsea are in a state of, it doesn't matter who you throw in there, player, coach, whatever, it's going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. At least for right now. And I think they are, in the past, they have been unwilling to suffer through the growing pains of that. And I think you could argue that there were growing pains for that last year. And what did they do this year? They bought a bunch of new people. So now they're just back to growing pains again. I love that if you look at the momentum bar of this game, it is all blue. And then there's just like three instances where Nottingham Forest get three shots on goal. Chelsea had 21 total shots, 2 on target. They can't finish. They have a bunch of people that play the same position. Their best player is Raheem Sterling, who, when he first got there, was unplayable. Like, and not in the British sense unplayable, where they use it as, like, a good thing. Like, in the American sense, where he's like, you don't know how to get him in the game. Now he's your best player. That's not good. And then, to go, I guess, circle back, Steve Cooper, better coach. I mean, it's just... Nottingham Forest haven't... Their last away... They won one away game last year against Southampton. And for me to sit here last week and go, you know what, I think they could actually beat Chelsea away, which they don't win away games, is more of an indictment on Chelsea than it is Nottingham Forest, who I think are going to be like actually halfway decent this year.
Yeah. Before we move on to the next one, interesting fact. Forest went up last year, were promoted last year. They played three games against Chelsea. Chelsea have yet to beat them. Two draws last year and then a loss so this year.
And they've signed the same amount of players, I think, in a two-year span. And clearly, Forrest knows how to sign a bunch of players and get them to play together much better.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Steve Cooper, perfect manager for.
I think I did the math. I think it was 40 signings or 41 signings in basically 12 months.
Insane.
Unheard of. And one of those signings, first of all, Callum Hudson-Odoi going over there from Chelsea, and then also. Divock Origi making the League return at Nottingham Forest. Can't wait for that.
He better start against Everton, because you know how that goes down.
Oh, he will. I guarantee Steve Cooper's like, all the tactics in my brain, he's like, yeah, you just score goals against Everton, don't you? Okay, go in there. Yeah.
All right, Brighton 3, Newcastle 1. Big dunk with the hat trick. 27th minute, 65th, and 70th. Callum Wilson with the lone goal for Newcastle. Again, I want to ask this. Are we worried about Newcastle low-key not getting into top four again this year? Are we overly impressed with Brighton? Is this just early season woes? And then I do want to ask too, two goals against Villa and not much good playing time for Alexander Isak since. I know it's only four games. These are the games that we get to talk about. So, Michael, let's start off with you. What are your thoughts on this one?
First of all, the glass half full here for Newcastle. You played Aston Villa, you played Liverpool, you played City, and you played Brighton. Arguably, like, eight of the best teams in the league. You did have a home game in there that you probably should have absolutely won against 10 men, but you didn't. So... tough. Their biggest, first of all, Nick Pope looks horrible. He's looked horrible a couple games now. Their biggest thing was that defense, that back five. That back five does not look good. They look like they're kind of complacent. And again, I don't think this is so much Newcastle's fault, but genuinely anybody, if Brighton are working that day, you could just get absolutely smoked. So I think this is more of a Brighton are actually good, and Brighton could legitimately get into the top four this year, and not so much Newcastle like are miles worse than they were. If they start losing to the mid-table teams, though, then you can have that conversation.
Dylan, what are your thoughts here?
I think I'm worried if I'm Newcastle, because I think the last week has been hell for the Toon Army. You blow a lead to a 10-man team. You get drawn to the group of death. So now you can't even say you want to focus on Champions League, but most likely, I'd say, especially how they're playing, they're looking like they should come in last in that part of the group. And then they get spanked by Brighton, a team that I would say is on their playing field that is competing to try and shake up to get into the top four, but even that just get a Europa spot next year. So I think I'm sure, to Michael's point, they'll end up being fine, but I think they looked tired out there, and they still haven't even gotten into Champions League. And I mean, I know I said this all the time about West Ham last year, but it kind of held true. It was like, you're finally getting in to focus on two competitions when not being there for a while. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to say hit the panic button, but I'd have cause for concern as maneuver through the season right now.
I don't think you're wrong. I actually think, and Nick, I'll go to you right after this, but like, I remember when City got into the Champions League for the first time, we basically took a pistol whipping like right away in there because we tried so hard to get there. And once we were there, I think Monaco might have beat us like 5-2 in the group.
With Mbappe too, I think, right?
Well, that was even further back. But there was a few games in that 2013 season, I think it was the first time in the Champions League, where you could just tell, like, you exhausted yourself just to get here. And who's to say we're going to see this group of death? I'm pumped about that group. All those games are going to be sick. But I could kind of see your theory here, Dylan, being true. Nick, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I look at this game, and I was looking at our table, obviously, with when we had our deadline, our transfer deadline given to us, where I have them fifth and Brighton sixth. I think long-term how they fare, both teams fare in Europe, is going to be super important to this their success in the table, because I think Newcastle has better depth to survive this compared to Brighton, but I also think that Newcastle will finish fourth, and they will not. Europe won't actually be. I think it would be worse for them to actually finish third. They might as well just finish fourth, and not have to deal with. Because they could go win Europa League. Yeah. You're not going to win the Champions League, so you might as well just drop yourself out. But Brighton on any given day is absolutely electric and could literally beat anybody. Where Newcastle, you know, maybe it's fatigue or who knows what, but I think they're going to be just fine. Beginning of the season, shorter off season, you know, a little bit. I think it'll be interesting to see. But I think they're both definitely top six teams. You know, yeah. They're both in Europe again next year, not even a question.
I think for me, before I go back to Michael, there's two things I want to ask. One, not ask, one statement, one question. I think if you're Newcastle and you saw Brighton, you saw Liverpool, and you saw City in a row, you're hoping you would have got a point. I think that just didn't happen. I think that's something to be kind of like, what the hell? But Michael, I think you want to talk about Brighton. To Nick's point about Newcastle, my only concern about Brighton in Europe is their depth too. It's going to be interesting to see once they have to play in the Carabao Cup, in the FA Cup, and Europa League. Adam Lallana, James Milner getting a lot of minutes. I mean, you watched that firsthand. Yourself last year, like, that's going to be my concern with them too. What are your thoughts?
So I'm taking Milner or Lallana over Longstaff or Lascelles.
Lascelles?
Yeah. I mean, Harvey Barnes, Callum Wilson, Anderson, all pretty good. Tariq Lamptey, Dahoud, they still have Enciso, who's hurt. They have Danny Welbeck, who's hurt. I don't know how to say this dude's name.
Buenanote.
Who
what just happened? What? Hang on.
Yeah. Buenanote. Facundo. Buenanote.
He played last year and got some goals for them the couple times he played. The difference is, I think you are to be a sub for Newcastle. You kind of have to be like an impact player, I would say. I think Brighton, you just do a shift. So I don't think actually chopping and changing that team that much with those different players is going to be that big of a difference. I mean, James Milner comes on, gets the patent and yellow card. He's going to do a job. Lallana's going to do a job. Dahoud, who I thought was going to be starting, isn't, because Billy Gilmore is playing out of his mind. And he's going to come on and do a job. They still have Igor from Fiorentina, who's a good center back. They're going to just incorporate people at random. And they're going to just be good. And then I don't think the depth thing is a problem for them.
A team that definitely has depth as an issue. Let's get to the game of the week. Arsenal 3, Man United 1. Rashford opened the scoring in the 27th minute, which was quickly dashed aside by Odegaard in the 28th minute. And then we had to wait into 6 minutes of stoppage time for Declan Rice to get the game winner in the 6 minute of stoppage time, like I just said, and then Gabriel Jesus put the game away. This is all to say also, that Garnacho had a goal called back. Kai Havertz had a penalty canceled. This game kind of had everything. Nick, welcome back to the podcast. Great first Man United game back. The floor is yours.
Unlike our handsome and gracious host, I don't hide from big losses on this podcast.
Get him. Hey, wait till you're married, Nick. Other things pop up, and all of a sudden you can't go on the game where City lost afterwards.
You know? Oh, man, that's super convenient for you. Anyway. what do you want to say? Like, it's you go from all the emotions. Like, I'm at the Rutgers football game sitting there now watching it, like, getting glitchy, you know, pixels through, and Michael's texting me, keep me updated. Like, it's just crazy how it just... Your season is so sensitive, and how if when it happens matters in the season too. Like, now it's like, oh my God, the international break. Now you got 2 weeks of just this big dark cloud, you know, and a 2-0. And I'm going to kind of go over the last, I'm not going to go into, but just a general overview where I'm at right now is like, you go into 2-0 over 1-0 to Spurs. You know, that's a totally different, you lose 1-0. Hey, first a top six team back, you know, that happens. Like, it's not the worst thing, but the two or the one, I don't know what's happening, but I will say that I have a completely different feeling 4 games in this year as compared to last year when you saw me at Leggett's sober, hands holding my face, you know, down 4-0 to Brentford. It's a couple, I just wrote down a couple points I just want to make overall. One, Rashford on the left only. Stop putting him through the middle. He's your guy there. Done. Like, it's over. Stop. Two, I'm seeing, it's different, going back to the different, I'm seeing shades of Ole a little bit with some of this, with some stubbornness and blind loyalty, which is really starting to annoy me. Like, it's time to change it up. Antony sucks. He might also...
Don't worry, he took care of it. He's not playing anymore. You're good.
Yeah, I know. Dude, quick... Yeah. Say, quick sidebar. He might go down the road of, you know, whatever.
The Mason Greenwood road?
Yeah. I was trying to, you know, but...
We don't shy away from controversy here, Nick.
Yeah, yeah. We need Hoyland's got to play. Pilastri's got to play. Pilastri's got to play on the right. Whatever happened with Sancho, you know, I mean, this happened with him in the Euros, too. You know, in 2020, Gareth Southgate said the exact same thing about him, that he wasn't training well, and then he trained and he started playing a lot better. But the blind loyalty and all this stuff is really killing me. Like, I'm curious, is this what it like is like to feel like a Mets fan with all this false hope, only to kind of be somewhat mediocre?
I mean, you could say the same thing about Yankees fans lately, so I don't know.
Nah, man, it's just, this is just a blip. But anyway,
a really long blip.
But I mean, ultimately, it's early, you know. I looked at their fixture list really going into early December. It's more on the favorable side in league, you know, where there can definitely be points that should be made up and should be won. You know, where we come back in 2 months, it could be a totally different story. But
real quick, Go ahead, finish.
My last point is, this is all Phil Jones's fault. That's my conclusion. Gotcha. It's Phil Jones. He set such a bad precedent with staying for a millennia and getting paid, and Harry Maguire thinks he can just stay, sell his contract, and why didn't they sell him and Scott McTominay? Like, it's all his fault. People are just gonna sit here and bleed us out. You know, AWB is doing the same thing. You know, they wanted to get rid of him, sell him off to buy new players, and well, nah.
Wait, Bissaka, the best defender?
Yeah, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that the best 1v1 defender in England, not even a question. Not even a question.
Jack Grealish tracks back really well. Look, I asked this question last week, or I said this when you weren't on, and then you texted me about it, about like looking down and seeing Tony playing. I have a better... I mean, United's the gift that keeps on giving. There couldn't have been a world that you lived in that you would turn a United game on and see the center-back pairing of Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans, the Leicester All-Stars, together on the field in United jerseys, right? Like, this is just...
Did they ever play together at Leicester?
Oh, yeah. I looked into it.
Dude, like, it's, like, maybe... It's Phil Jones. It's goddamn Phil Jones. Like, if it wasn't for him saying, Maguire would have left, wasn't thinking he's owed all this money. Like, I'm very frustrated, but I have to tell myself it's September. Like, we were points-wise and stuff like that, we were in a way worse position last year.
Yeah.
But this feels worse than last year. Like, this feels way worse than last year.
Yeah, you beat us last year at this point.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's... there's got to be a change. Like, when we come back in 2 weeks, Hoyland's got to start. You got to put somebody different on the right. You know, you got to get the center-back pairings figured out. And hopefully, with Armbat coming in, you know, we can balance out the midfield and give Casemiro less responsibility in terms of distance to cover, which makes him much better. Because I agree with, I think Michael said it, he looks old, man. Like I thought the same thing. He looks old and slow, but reading more and more, it's just like he's never been a big distance guy, you know? So he's just more of an enforcer. Sprinter. Yeah. So, I don't know. Talk to me in October. And then the real crisis and the real frustrations will just come out.
Moving it back.
Yeah.
In October, no. Really, talk to me in December.
Just, no, I'm kicking it down the road when we're last in the Champions League, you know. And I think we'll figure it out. I think I was pretty excited when I saw with Hoyland. He's a little bit of a spark plug.
He looked like a difference maker. Luckily, Nick, we get to talk to you every week pretty much moving forward here. Dylan, any insights before I give it to Michael, where I'm assuming we might get the VAR rant of the week?
I won't touch the VAR part of it. Outside of that, I think it's a game that I was losing faith in Arsenal, and I think I probably should lose faith in Arsenal, but also finding a way to win that game, I think, says something about Arsenal. I don't know if that says more about United being a mess and just not holding in to the end or not. And I think this is because I was the only one who went on a limb, because I'm an idiot, because we had to, you know, throw something not named Man City at the top of the table. This is me just blindly saying this, so hopefully I can have some type of title race with them in it. But I don't know. Things seem rocky in Arsenal, yet they're the Minnesota Vikings of this year right now, where they just keep winning games that they probably shouldn't. So we'll see how long that lasts until their luck runs out. But at the moment, it's going. And now, Michael, I think you're going to yell at me for what I said, / you can do VAR. So the floor is yours.
You know what happened to the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, they lost to the Giants, but, you know, there's no playoffs, so I don't have to worry about that.
At Dylan's, it matters, and they can't do it.
They lost at Dylan's wedding.
They did, yeah. But you know what? There's playoffs in the Premier League, so cut that problem out.
The equivalent is like the last, you know, month or month and a half of the season. In terms of the VAR, great job. Absolutely perfect utilization of VAR. The Kai Havertz penalty, not a penalty. Wan-Bissaka like barely touches him. If they would have got that penalty, it's not exactly the same, but it's very similar to the Eze penalty against Arsenal. So if they would have gotten that one, I would have had even more of an issue with that Eze penalty way back. I'm not 100% sold on Arsenal at all. I think they got a lot of problems. I think, first of all, it should have been 2-1. I don't know why that so much time was added at the end. Like, they didn't waste that much time.
They need goal differential.
Is that our first 100-plus minute goal?
I was going to bring up that you were prediction? Yeah, you were almost hoisted by your own petard there. But yeah, you escaped, essentially.
Well, I think there are going to be games that are going to like be way more, but I was watching the game and the amount of time, like, when stoppage time actually started, when they presented the time to, like, it was 8 minutes, I think. There was not 3 extra minutes. Like, it just wasn't. And he let it go on way too long. So, like, I guess it was really, like, a 2-1. I thought the VAR, like, the offsides was right. You know, pretty insane. Just, like, cut back. I think it was Gabriel John. I think it was number 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think Amrabat's going to be really good. I think Hoyland will be better than your other options, and he might not even be better than Rashford up top, but he'll allow you to play Rashford on the left where he absolutely should 100% be. I'm not sold on Arsenal, and I don't really have much to say about them, but it looks really bad after when there's so much to bitch about VAR and Ten Hag, like, just very, like, short and sweetly is, like, three VAR decisions, they got him wrong. And, like, they really didn't. Like, in actuality, they really didn't. It just sounds kind of bitter. They got absolutely... Well, they got absolutely outplayed. They didn't deserve a point from that game. So it doesn't sit right with me as not... I mean, I'm saying if I was a United fan, because, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care if you guys win or lose. But just it doesn't sit right with me, and I think Arsenal will have a long way to go. I'm going to give it another month, maybe 2 months, but I think there's a team, not just Man City, not just Liverpool. I think there's another team that could put Arsenal down in fourth place.
And...
I'm not willing to say it yet.
So does this start and end with the same letter?
Yes. So we'll see. But I thought it was a sick game. I just don't. I'm not sold on either of these teams at all.
Aston Villa.
Spurs, John.
I saw his cables.
That's why I know where he's going with it.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Early season dysfunction for Man United. Honestly, what else is new? Dylan, again, starting off a little slow, betting wise. But I know you got one bet to send us into the international break, and I know that now you've gotten almost the entire pod into betting. I think now that Nick's back in school, you'll probably want to chew up your time with something, so I'm sure he'll get back on the wagon too. But what do you got? We'll do the pod lay in the next episode, but what's your one bet for the international break we got here?
I'll say pod lay was fun. It's a shame that some people couldn't hold up their end of the bargain, but we'll Michael. Get there.
I had the easiest leg, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yours was like minus 210 or something like that,
wasn't
it?
That's why you got to go with your gut. You got to go with your gut. You can't just lay up.
We literally all sat here and we said 100, like, it's a guarantee. 225 is, like, kind.
Look, there was an audible gasp when I said draw on mine, and I think you guys were like, all right, let's find something easy. Because I was like, we're doing the draw. And I was like, I'm glad I hit mine, damn it.
Good job.
Anywho, the one pick is a football pick, and it's the Delaware Blue Hens to cover against Penn State. The spread isn't out yet because I don't think it can be fathomed at the moment. But whenever it's probably like Delaware getting plus 42.5 or 49.5, they will cover because great teams cover.
True. OU did not cover last season when we went to Penn State. Again, Dylan's wife and my wife, both Penn State grads. So this is a brotherhood, not only bonded on the pod, but also bonded on anti-Penn State love. Nick, I know that the pod mother, who hasn't gotten to make as many verbal appearances as she had last year, had a few words for us about our betting.
Yeah, as I was cooking up some tacos for Tacos Tuesday earlier, we were catching up. They were away, and they're out in Lake Tahoe. And I go, "How's your betting go out there?" She goes, "You know, Dylan's got to do better because I had listened to a couple of his bets, and they didn't do well for me. So he needs to pick it up." And then she proceeds to tell me that she wanted to bet West Ham to win. And the guy at the sports book couldn't figure it out. Like, I can't find it. And a guy just goes over, he goes, ma'am, the West Ham game is going on right now. You can't bet that live. He's looking for the bet for two weeks from now on September 16th. I don't think you want to do that. She goes,
"Yeah,
you're right. I don't want to do that."
Podmother. I got a quick question. Are your parents retired?
Oh, yeah. Way retired.
And they are super never. They are enjoying life. I will say this: you have no reason to follow them, but if you want to look at two people just having a time of their lives going around the world, A, to see Bruce, and B, it sounds like Tibet.
Wait till you see where they're going this weekend.
Yeah, John, they are leaving Thursday to go to Duke Lafayette at Duke, and they were talking today about, well, the game's not till 6, and NC State plays at noon. Won't we go to the first half of the NC State game?
Oh, jeez.
And they're looking at tickets to do that. They fly home on Sunday morning. They land in Newark at, like, noon. Staying in Newark, going to the Giant game at 8 p.m., coming home, I think literally flying out Monday to go to Pittsburgh to see Springsteen again with our cousin.
That's honestly, Michael and my mom are very, very similar. Like, she just wants to go and travel and see everything and do everything. But I will say this, your mother is truly a mother of three boys. Like, she likes sports.
Or yeah, she also had three older brothers too. So it's kind of,
yeah.
And that she was sense. Also a two-year varsity captain, four-year starter for two different sports at Division I college, so.
Damn.
Yeah, she was a stud.
You guys are pretty disappointing then, huh?
I'm the only one in the family that played college. The only Dylan, one three of us that played Division I college sports.
Dylan, you're pretty disappointing, huh?
I'm sorry, man. So average at multiple sports that it makes me a superstar. Like, I could keep up with you in, like, almost every sport, though. That's my niche.
Mile wide, inch deep, jack of all trades, master of none. I actually feel the same way about myself too.
Yeah,
Dylan made it to the last round of cuts for club lacrosse in college, so you know he almost had the dream.
I'll be honest, it was a top 25 program in club lacrosse for whatever it's worth.
same thing for me at baseball, club baseball. I went out for the tryouts. I did not make the team, but that's fine. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke. And then we can update everyone next week on how we do with drinking games at the Delaware Penn State game.
Oh, wait, did you find a stump? Did
yeah,
you find
we
a
found
stump?
A stump. Don't worry.
Nice.
All right, good.
Love it.
All right, so did you guys hear about the League, I think it's League 5 soccer coach that just turned 100? He's still alive and kicking. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.